Hi, I'm Kelly, a registered respiratory therapist with Blue Zone Health. Do you feel breathless much of the time? Are you unsure of how to manage your breathlessness? Is it keeping you from doing all the things that you would like to do? I'm here to help you learn to work with your healthcare team to come up with a plan that will work for you. There are lots of tools, tips, and tricks and breathing exercises that you can do now that will help you breathe easier and more effectively. I look forward to joining you on this journey and empowering you to breathe better.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to part two of the Cozy Lung Lounge episode. I'm Gina, one of your co-hosts on the Cozy Lung Lounge. Welcome back.
Hey, everyone. Today is part two, kind of. We are doing two episodes being released back to back. Yesterday, we just released an episode all about smoking and smoking cessation. And today, we're going to be talking about vaping. This is something that is somewhat relatively new. It was actually patented back in 2003, but it is something that's pretty new, pretty relevant right now. And so I just wanted to kind of do a back-to-back episode and really focus on this as a topic. So we're excited to be talking about this and to talk about the importance of understanding what vaping is and what it can be doing, because it was originally marketed as the safe alternative to smoking. So we are finding out some different data right now that suggests otherwise.
So what exactly happens when somebody vapes? And people tell me, oh, nothing, it's just water vapor. It's just, it's so much, there's not chemicals in it, which is absolutely not true. It's full of chemicals. And one of those chemicals is called diacetyl. And if you go online and look up popcorn worker's lung, there was a couple of factories in, I can't remember where they were, somewhere in the Midwest, where they manufactured that microwavable popcorn, which always, I don't like the smell now, but back then it used to smell so good because it smelled like butter. But if you think about it, when you cook popcorn on a cooktop, a stove at home, how long does it take before kernels start popping? 5 minutes, somewhere in there. And what happens, what diacetyl does is allows you, when they mix it with the popcorn kernels and put it in the microwave, that superheating effect, it gets really hot really fast and allows your microwave popcorn to be done in 1 minute. And that diacetyl is the element in the liquid vape juice that makes it so that when you activate the heating element in your vape device, it's the diacetyl that turns it into vapor so quickly. But all that vapor is going right into your lungs, and that diacetyl will cause you all kinds of problems, as they discovered with the popcorn worker's lung, because a lot of the people that worked at that factory were getting really sick. And it wasn't COPD and it wasn't cancer, and they couldn't figure out what was going on with these people's lungs, but they basically just stopped working. And they linked it to this chemical, diacetyl.
Like you said, you know, this is not just water that you're vaping in. It's an e-liquid, and it does eliminate some of the chemicals that are found in cigarettes. I think there's over 7,000 chemicals that can be in cigarettes and cigarette smoke. So it does eliminate some of them, but it also has some really harmful things, like what Kelly was just talking about. So, you know, it was originally made as a tool to help people quit smoking, and it's kind of turned into this whole separate health epidemic. There's also some different base components to this liquid.
Yeah, a couple of base components. In the safe vape, you know, propylene glycol and vegetable glycerin are kind of safe for ingesting into your stomach, you know, but we have not proven those are safe for inhalation. When you're heating them, they can be broken down into harmful compounds. Now, we'll talk about a little bit this more later, but some vapes you get may have vitamin E acetate as that base compound. And in that, that has been very toxic and has led to a lot of lung transplants. So while some, you might think some are safe if you get it at a safe store or you've researched the chemicals, there still may be some of those other things in there.
It's one of those things, if you read the ingredients that are in a vape, because they're all different. Every company makes something different. There's flavorings, there's colorings, there's other levels of all kinds of things. But people read vitamin E acetate and there's no bells go off because it's vitamin E. So you think, oh, okay. but it's a very, very different chemical when it's superheated.
Absolutely. Wow, it sounds like there's a lot of science that goes into this process that we just might not know as much as we should about it. Mm-hmm. What about the research? I haven't seen much research. Have you ladies seen much research on vaping?
Oh, yes. There's a ton of research on vaping, and many studies have been done. I think, Amy, you know better than I do all the studies that have been done, but just it's been proven that it ruins your lungs. There's no getting that lung tissue back. Not only that, but there's a certain number of the vape units themselves. They're not regulated by any particular oversight committee or group, and they explode because that superheat juice can leak out and all of a sudden it explodes in your face. So that one alone
would
keep me from doing that. But
yeah, you know, there are studies that are slowly coming out, and they have, you know, definitely been coming out the past 6 years, maybe 7 years, about kind of the more and more increased negative side effects that they're starting to see, because this isn't something that we can see that somebody's been doing 50, 60, 70 years, like with smoking. You know, there are studies of people who've been doing it their whole life. This, not so much the case because it's still relatively new, but you know, there are toxic byproducts still that are coming out of these. Formaldehyde is one of them, and acrolein, I think is how you say it, is also one of them, which acrolein is primarily used as an herbicide. So something to kill plants is what is in these devices that you're breathing in. And a lot of these byproducts are also carcinogens, which are cancer-causing chemicals.
So I've had a lot of patients say, well, I switched from smoking to vaping so I could quit smoking and get off the nicotine that way. But if you read the labels, some of these vape cartridges do have nicotine in them. And the worry is that on these little kids, they're marketing these, they were, to little kids because they're flavored. You can get all kinds of, you know, fascinating flavors of these, but here you're letting a little kid have nicotine. And children's nervous systems don't develop until they're about 25. So if you're allowing your 12-year-old or your 13-year-old to vape, think again, because there's all kinds of chemicals in there. It's not just water vapor.
We've kind of estimated in the past, you know, one cigarette is about 1 milligram of nicotine. Now, these pods that you get, or the different cartridges of the vape, has nicotine in it. Depending on how deeply you inhale, how much you inhale, you can get much, much higher than 1 milligram on each hit. And think about that. If you're doing 20 times a day, that's a pack of cigarettes. But if you're sipping it a little bit each time, a couple of times an hour, that gets to be a really high level of nicotine. And not only nicotine's in there, there's also heavy metals in there. We talk a lot about heavy metal exposure, and we want to reduce our exposure. Well, the heating coil has nickel, tin, and chromium that can leach tiny medical particles into the aerosol. Then you've got ultrafine metals going into your lungs, down into your alveoli. It could even get into your bloodstream, depending on how fine those particles are.
And, you know, this is something that, you know, a lot of times when we talk about chronic lung disease, people don't think that they can really develop that until they're older. But with vaping, it's been happening a lot in younger people. And to be honest, you know, in my lifetime, I'm 25. So when I was in middle school and high school, these things were starting to come out more and more and more, more vapes, more this, more that, more Juuls. And when I was in college, Juuls were a huge thing. And there's tons of different brands and there's tons of different flavors. And it actually was considered kind of the cool thing when I went to college. And I wasn't perfect with that either, because I didn't understand what was in it. And, you know, I didn't do it for long, but I did, you know, I did vape a little bit because that was the cool thing. When you'd go out with your friends, you'd hang out when you were stressed trying to study for exams and all the stressors that come with undergrad and graduate school. It was just kind of this social thing, like it always was with smoking. And it was, you know, the more and more I learned about it, the more I realized that I needed to not do that. And so I did stop, but it was something that was kind of this peer pressure social thing that people did, that I've seen people do in like my middle school and high school. And that's really sad, especially now knowing more and knowing what I know. it's really sad watching people in middle school, you know, 10, 12 year olds doing this.
Amy, you bring up a really good point about when we think about lung disease, we think about being older, but what happens with vaping is you can destroy the interior of your lungs and not even realize it's happening. And there was a guy who was an influencer named Chance Amirata. If you don't know the name, go on Instagram or Facebook, look up Chance Amirata. He was 19 or 20 years old. He was going to be a model, good looking kid, vaped because it was cool. And one day he felt a giant pop in his lung inside. He didn't know what happened, took him to the ER, and he had collapsed a lung. And he'd only been vaping maybe 6 months or so. But what the vape stuff did was just completely turned one of his lungs completely friable, just weakened all of that tissue, and he collapsed a lung. And when you collapse a lung, depending on the reason why you do it, you put a chest tube in and you can re-expand the lung. They couldn't re-expand his lung because there was nothing to re-expand. He had so damaged it. And so he became an advocate for not vaping. And I wish I saw more of him still today. He became a big advocate for the young teen group, middle school and high school group, not to vape because you don't feel anything coming on. He just woke up one day and bam, his right lung was completely crashed.
Hi, friends. This episode of the Cozy Lung Lounge is brought to you by Hootenanny Joy, where your health and wellness take center stage. At Hootenanny Joy, we know how overwhelming it can be to stay on top of your health, especially when life gets busy or chronic illness adds challenges. That's why we've created self-study programs designed to meet you right where you are. These programs are simple, flexible, and packed with tools to help you thrive. And they come with something extra, access to a live health coach, that's me, to guide you every step of the way. Whether it's improving your sleep, learning to nourish your body, or managing stress, our programs combine proven science with practical, real-life strategies. You can work at your own pace, get the answers you need during coaching sessions, and feel confident you're making progress. Ready to take that first step? Visit HootenannyJoy.com to explore the programs and choose the one that fits your journey best. Hootenanny Joy, because your health deserves a little joy.
And, you know, I think it was a little bit, you know, criminal in my opinion, watching all these vapes come out and they're rainbow colors and they're fun looking and they're called elf bars. And it's like, oh, an elf bar, that's fun. And this is not the whole point. This isn't why vaping started. And it's really created a big health epidemic. So like we've talked about, you know, COPD is one of the biggest links when it comes to vaping, is your increased chance of developing COPD. And then there's lots of different other health impacts, you know, that we're talking about long-term as well. Have you guys ever heard of dual use danger?
No, what is that?
So they're actually finding that if you're vaping and smoking, so dual using vaping and smoking, that it can actually lead to a higher risk of lung cancer. There are some people that actually vape and that becomes a gateway to smoking, and it can actually really increase your risk of lung cancer.
I also want to add, if you know anybody who's pregnant or breastfeeding who is vaping, all those chemicals and heavy metals and stuff go right through the breast milk to the baby. And we had a young couple that we know, and she had quit vaping and quit drinking when she got pregnant. But as soon as she had her baby, she went back to vaping. And we said, you did it. You quit. Why are you going back to it? She says, oh, well, I could do it now. And I don't like to lecture young people, but I said, you know, everything that you ingest is going through your breast milk to your baby. Just know that. And so she quit. Another thing they can add to the vape juice is THC, which is the active element in marijuana. So they're not allowed to sell those to minors, but who's to keep somebody from buying one and giving it to a minor? So these kids now, it's not bad enough they're vaping so young, but now they've got THC running through their system, which is not good for development and learning.
And vaping is a little bit easier for kids to hide. It doesn't smell as bad as smoke. It's not going to cling to them. They can do it very discreetly. There's even garments with different vaping accessories in them so that you can quickly and discreetly vape while you're at school or other kinds of events. And so parents, grandparents, everybody really should watch out for vaping in that young generation, because it's quite harmful.
And, you know, when we're talking about youth development, more particularly with the nicotine side of things, it can do a lot of damage to their brain and to their brain development, as well as really affecting their attention span. So you may notice that they are struggling in school a little bit. It can affect their learning and also their impulse control. So there's a lot of, you know, really negative side effects that may be lifelong side effects to youth smoking and vaping.
I think growing up, going through adolescence and high school is hard enough without adding a bunch of chemicals to the equation to try to get through life and learn what you need to learn to be on your own. Another thing that's impacted is the immune system. The immune response is dulled when you vape. That has been proven with a lot of studies.
Well, I imagine the immune system is probably already overreactive, trying to heal the lungs from the vape.
We have macrophages in our lungs. Those are kind of the cleanup crew that go in, as well as the cilia that we talked about. But because of the vape device is such a superheating device, you're getting two injuries in one. You're getting a heat burn as well as a chemical burn, and those will burn your cilia, and it overwhelms the macrophage, so they can't clean up the lungs the way that they should. So that just ruins your immune system overall.
We've talked a lot about what vaping will do to you. How do we stop vaping? Is it similar to smoking cessation strategies? What we're going to recommend to cut back on the vaping?
You know, it's interesting. There's all kinds of hotlines and things you can do to quit smoking, but how do we market to the middle school and teenage and young adults that they can get help for quitting vaping? I haven't seen a thing.
You know, there are some apps out there that are starting to become a little bit more prevalent. And I think the number one thing is to help kind of educate everybody on the fact that this really just is not a safe alternative, and that it's really become a big problem within younger individuals and just anybody who may have quit smoking who switched to vaping too. There's lots of different things out there that can really help. I know I've gotten ads, just I guess because of my age, for stopping vaping. And so if you look up just on your app store, like Stop Vaping, I think, then there's lots of different apps out there that are free that can kind of help you track and give you some motivations to quit.
I'm going to look right now so we can say what they are on the air. Let's see.
I will, the Illinois Tobacco Quit Line, another quit line for states, they don't only do cigarettes, it's all nicotine. So they will also discuss vaping strategies. If you call one of those hotlines, they're federally funded with tobacco dollars. So they're all free for everybody.
Here's a whole list that came up for me. There's an app called Escape the Vape. There's an app called My Quit Buddy. There's an app called Quit Vaping Tracker. And Quit Sure, Quit Vaping, and another one just called Quit Vaping. So there you have it.
And I guess that kind of comes with our age now that there's a bunch of apps for quitting vaping. So, you know, I think using apps like that can be really helpful, but there's also different other things that you can do. And some of those apps may have it, but creating a plan. So kind of doing some of the action plans that we've talked about before with other topics, maybe create an action plan for how you're going to quit and use some of the tools that we talked about in our other episode, like finding your reason why to quit smoking, or instead of paying for that vape, which can be $20 to $30, if you go through 2, 3, 4 of those a month, take that money and go do something nice for yourself. Take yourself out to dinner with yourself, your significant other, your friends, or buy yourself something nice.
If those vape cartridges and vape pens are not inexpensive, I don't even know how much they go for, but I know that a friend of mine who was vaping said she spent around $150, $200 a month and she didn't feel like she vaped that much. So $200 a month over a year, that's $2,400. Buy a lot of nice stuff with $2,400.
Oh yeah.
That doesn't sound like a low cost alternative to cigarettes once you start getting addicted and getting into all of the different devices that might be out there.
So do some of the same materials that you use to kind of curb your cravings with cigarettes, do those work for vaping as well?
Deep breaths, nature walks. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And if you're vaping something that contains nicotine, then yes, I would recommend the gum patches, things like that. You're trying to get off of two things, nicotine and the vaping habit.
And like we said, you know, there's always some medical help that you can get if you need to talk with your doctor about the fact that you're really struggling to quit. There's different medications that they can prescribe you as well if that's really been something you've been struggling with. And then the same thing before that we talked about with smoking, there's lots of different support groups out there, I'm sure. There's probably Facebook groups. There's probably online groups. You can always seek mental health counseling. There's lots of different options out there for you for kind of social support, or maybe doing it with your friend. Maybe kind of deciding that vaping isn't cool. So maybe you and your friend or your friend group decide to all quit together. That could also be a really great idea.
I think the peer pressure is high when one person vapes, you know, one person says, I'm going to quit vaping. Well, why? It's not bad for you. Why? And it is bad for you. And I think joining a support group or just getting some friends that don't vape by choice is a wise decision.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. You know, we know that our smoking conversation and our vaping conversation, they're not easy conversations to have. But this is such an important topic, and this one lifestyle change can make a huge overall impact on your health. Deciding to quit smoking and deciding to quit vaping is not easy, but it is doable, and there's lots of resources out there to do it. So please, you know, take a look at some of these things that we've talked about and maybe come up with your plan on how you're going to quit.
And I put Chance Amirata's name in the chat. So I think if anybody's watching this, they can get his name and look him up and see everything he had to say about vaping and why he quit and how he quit and why everyone else should too.
This has been a really eye-opening conversation about some of the new dangers of vaping, which is a new epidemic. I hope that everybody got a little bit of tips that they can take away to help their own selves or one of their loved ones.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you on the next episode. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. This is the conclusion of season one of the Cozy Lung Lounge. So next year, 2026, we're going to be on season two. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we're looking forward to our next season.
Living with a chronic respiratory condition doesn't mean giving up the things you love to do. At Blue Zone Health, we're here to help you breathe easier and rebuild your strength. Our online cardiopulmonary rehab program offers tailored exercises, self-management training, and expert support from certified respiratory therapists. Accessible anytime, it's designed to reduce breathlessness, improve lung function, and empower you, all while connecting you with a supportive community. Visit bluezone.health and take the first step towards stronger lungs and a healthier future. Blue Zone Health. Breathe better, live better.